to 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. What a fantastic story. What an experience. Goodness me. This is the time for talking about fantastic experiences. For those who want to take part in the Easter egg hunt, to go and take part in the Easter egg hunt, which will be outside in that playground out there. Don't all go. Some of you have got to stay and listen to me. Okay, sorry, but that's the rules. My rules. Enjoy your Easter egg hunt. Don't eat them all at once. Actually, I think you can eat them all at once, can't you? It's Easter Sunday. Who cares? No. Have a good time. Right, well done. Thank you for staying, some of you. Thank you for staying. I appreciate that. I do need to name check Andrew again here for doing our recording for us, which is part of what's the
It's an accolade experience.
Yeah.
School.
Yeah. So with the school, so we need to Andrew's here to help us and to help what we're doing, but also something part of he's doing for the school. So I need to name check in now, so it goes on the recording, so they know he was really here. So I can, whoever's listening to this at the school, Andrew's definitely here.
Name check.
Right. That story that where Mary Magdalene goes, finds the tomb empty, and then is wondering, where is Jesus? She's so upset. Where is he? What's happened to him? Sees what she thinks is the gardener, and then she suddenly realizes it was Jesus. Can you imagine the low to the high? They've been going along. She's had her life changed by this guy and by what she's learnt from him and the experiences she's seen. And then suddenly he's arrested and he's crucified and it's all over. And it's, to make matters worse, 2 days later she goes along and someone has stolen his body. What could she have felt then? What could she have felt then? And then to go up to that high of seeing Jesus, how incredible was that? What an effect. And we don't know much about the rest of Mary Magdalene's life, but what an effect that must have had on her for the rest of her life. And it's easy, isn't it? And I think people sort of throughout the world say, well, is it true? Did it really happen? Was Jesus really raised from the dead? And sometimes, just because it's a long, long, long time ago, it's easy to read a story. And even for us, for those of us who are been Christians for years, sometimes we can read these stories and lose the reality of it, that it happened as if it happened yesterday. And sometimes it's good, I always think with some of these Bible stories and things that happened, to try and put ourselves in the shoes of the people, whether it be Mary or the disciples or whoever, to put ourselves in the shoes of the people who didn't know the end. They didn't know what was going to happen. They hadn't read the end of the Bible because it hadn't happened. But we know the final story. We know the end. Just because it's a long time ago doesn't make it any less real. I was talking to my dad a few days ago. We were reminiscing about when we moved down from Birmingham, which was in 1971 when I was 9. And we moved down, we were talking about it, and things that he remembered about it and things that I remembered about it were different. But he said, it feels like so long ago now, as though it never really happened. But of course it did really happen, because I'm here. And I was born in Birmingham, so it must have happened at some point. just because it was a long time ago. The whole situation with Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, I'm told is reasonably well documented historically. It's generally accepted as a historical fact that he lived and that something happened at the time where he was crucified and then came back to life. It's reasonably well documented outside of Christian circles. I think it is reasonably well documented. So I think we can accept that it happened in some sense. And the question is, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? You know, it doesn't have to make any difference at all if we don't want it to. It doesn't have to make any difference. But whether we're Christians or whether we're not Christians, the question is, do we let it make any difference to us that Jesus died and he rose again? Because as Christians, as I said on Good Friday, as we talked there, it shows how much he loved us, that he was prepared to go through that for us. And it shows the power over death that he has, that he was able to come back to life. How wonderful. How wonderful. And we can look at the terrible things that happen in the world, and there are terrible things that happen in the world. And you know, people sometimes decide God isn't real, or he isn't there, or he doesn't care. But I do wonder what the world would be like if God wasn't there. I do wonder what the world would be like if he wasn't there. What things would happen that God actually stops happening at the moment that we don't know about. There's obviously no proof on that. There's no way we can say what that is. But I think there are things that probably don't happen, terrible things that don't happen, because God intervenes and stops them. But of course, we don't see that. We don't see that. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means we're forgiven. That's what the difference it makes, what happened. We're forgiven if we become Christians. That doesn't mean we stop doing things wrong, doesn't mean we get everything right, doesn't mean we're perfect or holy, but it means we are forgiven and we can keep going back for forgiveness. And it needs to show in our life. It must make a difference. It must make a difference. In Philippians, it talks about, I know I've quoted this before, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's a message to us who are Christians. Message to us who are Christians. Whatever happens in our life, we need to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of Christ. And we can only do that with God's help. We can only do that with God's help. It's not about obeying a set of rules. It's not about living a dull life. It's not about not doing fun things. Church has done, seems to me, over the years, over the decades and the centuries, has done a wonderful job of making Christianity as unappealing as possible. When you look back at church history, and even when you think back 20, 30, 40 years, and even now sometimes when you see stuff, churches and Christians do a wonderful job of making Christianity as unappealing as possible. How awful is that? How awful is that? We have been our own worst enemies, it seems to me, because if we serve a God who loves us so much he'll die for us, who is so powerful that he can beat death, why would we not want to live a life that celebrates that? Why would we not want to live a life that celebrates that? Being a Christian does not mean we can't do things. If we live a life that says, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that, it seems to me we're limiting God's power to work through us. Jesus, as we read in the Bible, was accused of spending too much time with the wrong people. He was accused of being a drunkard and a glutton. That says to me, Jesus enjoyed a good life. Jesus enjoyed partying. He enjoyed good things in life. But he did it in the right way. He did it in the right way. And that's how he was such a witness. That's how he turned people like Zacchaeus around and others, by spending time with them, by eating with them, by enjoying their company. Yes, he enjoyed the company of people who weren't Christians. Goodness me. He enjoyed the company. But he did it in the right way. And if we look at, again, a well-known verse, and again, I think one I've probably used up here hundreds of times in the past, but I'm not very original. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Even if Christianity was rubbish, even if it was all wrong, even if none of it was true, if we were able to live our lives on that basis of only thinking about, only looking at good things, only looking at positive things, only being positive all the time, how much better would the world be? How much better would the world be? Even if everything we believe about Jesus dying and being and rising again was rubbish, if we could do that and other things it says in the Bible about loving each other, how much better would the world be? And sometimes I look around and think, yeah, for all the talk there is there about Christianity being right or being wrong, whatever, if we actually base our lives on the Bible, then the world is better anyway. From my perspective, I believe I'm much happier being a Christian than I would be if I wasn't a Christian. And that means that even if it's rubbish, and I'm not saying it's rubbish, please hear me, but even if it was rubbish, I've still benefited as far as I can see. I've still benefited. What's my view? My view, Jesus loved me enough to go through something terrible for me. He loved me enough to die for me when that was the last thing he wanted to do. He loved me enough to do that. He loved you enough. He loved everyone who's lived since then, and before then, I guess, enough to go through all the terrible things that he knew were coming up for him. And he didn't, it wasn't a foregone conclusion. But not only did he love me enough, he was strong enough and he was brave enough to be able to beat it, to be able to beat death and all that means to me. And because of that, I want to do what he wants me to do. Because of that, I want to do what he wants me to do. And when I get it wrong, and I do get it wrong sometimes, I do, Margaret, honest. Yeah, I know you think I don't, but I do get things wrong sometimes, like Palm Sunday. When I get things wrong, it's okay, because he still forgives me, because he still loves me. Today is the day to celebrate. Celebrate that he is alive. Celebrate that he rose from the dead. Celebrate all the good things that he did for us. Can I prove that to anyone? No, I can't. Yeah, but that doesn't... people can argue that, can't they? Can I prove that Jesus was raised and is alive? No, I can't. I can't prove it at all. But I think he's proved it to me in my life personally, and I suspect he's proved it to a lot of you in your lives personally. And sometimes we can't explain that. I can't really explain how that works for me, but I know it does work for me. And I know that God is there, and I know that Jesus loves me. And I can't prove that, but I know it's true. If you're a Christian... we need to celebrate Jesus' love for us and what Easter Sunday means. We need to try to live our lives accordingly because of what he did for us. This God who loved us so much and is so powerful. And even though we can't see him, sometimes God does feel unreal, doesn't he? Because we can't see him and we can't touch him and we don't hear him and all those things. But if he's God, if we believe he's God, we need to live our life according to that in response and in gratitude for what he's done. In the way we live our lives, in the way we relate to other people, we need to be nice. Say nice things to people and about people. Not say nice things to people, but not about them. Say be nice. Say nice things is a very simple way of putting it. And if we're not a Christian, or we're not sure, maybe we just need to give it some consideration. What difference can it make to our lives? What difference can it make if it's true? And I'm 100% certain it is true, all of these things about Jesus dying and being raised. If it's true, what difference does that make to our life in the United Kingdom in 2023? What difference does it make? What difference could getting closer to God and his forgiveness mean? I'm going to end with a verse, and then Rachel, if you're happy to come and sing, that would be lovely. Again, a well-known verse for those who are being Christians for a while, from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Written to a church. We often quote this in terms of being an evangelical thing, but it's not just that. It's actually written to a church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am. This is Jesus speaking. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. And just think on that verse, whether you're a Christian, what does it mean to you? Whether you're not a Christian, what it can mean to you. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Jesus doesn't push the door open. He waits for us, waits for me and us to open the door. And that can be on any situation in our lives. That can be on whether we believe in him, whether we're allowing him to take over, to come into our lives. Father, would you bless us? Thank you for dying for us. Thank you that you rose again, Father. Would you bless us now? And would you help us to live our lives accordingly because of what you've done for us? Amen. Rachel.